From Cap Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. We have had hundreds of conversations this year, and thank you for being part of what makes our show important. As we round out 2022, we're taking a listen back to some of our most memorable conversations. We begin in the Eastern Sierra. 80 years ago, at the beginning of World War II, the U.S. government opened an incarceration center for Japanese Americans. The people who lived there for 3.5 years were deemed untrustworthy because of their heritage. Back in June, I sat down with former Cap Radio host Donna Apadoni, who took the trip to Manzanar. I spoke with Donna about what she learned about this unfortunate chapter of American history. Donna, thank you for joining us for such an important piece of really American but also Californian history. How did you first become acquainted with this story?
I knew that the U.S. government had opened incarceration centers during World War II. I had driven past the one in Colorado a number of times. I had heard from a museum in Arizona that these things existed. And then 15 years ago or so, I was driving to Death Valley, and I saw the sign on the highway, and I stopped in then. And then a few years more recently, decided to go back there and figure out what this story might be and what we would honor and remember about Manzanar.
Yeah, and this is, you know, 80 years later, 2022. Walk us through the backstory. I mean, I think for a lot of us, we obviously remember when Japan attacked Pearl Harbor, which was the start of World War II for the United States. But does it begin there?
No, it begins long before that. To me, in my memory of U.S. history, it's like that was the start of the war. Japan attacked Pearl Harbor. But the history and the conflict between the U.S. and Japan had more to do with the economy, had a lot to do with trade, and went back maybe 10 years or so before that. Then Japan bombed Pearl Harbor. Then President Roosevelt, Franklin Roosevelt, signed the executive order 9066. And these are the words from the order: authorized the forced removal of all persons deemed a threat to national security from the West Coast to relocation centers further inland. And that's what happened. Tens of thousands of Japanese Americans lost their homes.
What was the rationale for this level of incarceration?
Rationale to some, an excuse for some other people. There was that fear that anyone of Japanese descent would reveal something on the West Coast that would just sabotage security and lead to more of a problem with another attack from Japan, which sounds so convoluted, but that was the excuse or the rationale that was given at the time.
When I go back to American history in high school, I don't remember learning about this. Why didn't we study this piece of World War II?
It was conveniently hidden, wasn't it? Most of us didn't learn about this. Rose Masters is a ranger at the Manzanar National Historic Site, and I wanted you to hear what she had to say, because she grew up right down the road from Manzanar. And after she speaks, we're going to hear some statistics about the size of this place.
I grew up 6 miles from here. 6 miles. Like, I can bike here in 30 minutes. And we didn't study this in school. This wasn't that long ago. And so it's shocking to me, because I see it as one of the most important stories in American history.
Manzanar, the size of nearly 500 football fields, was one of two incarceration centers in California. The other was near the Oregon border at Tule Lake. There were also short-term detention centers.
But I do want you to know that this is the historic auditorium built by Japanese Americans who were incarcerated here.
We're at the back of the gym, in front of a large wall of names. It's the size of a movie screen. 11,000 names of the people who were held here at Manzanar.
Wow, 11,000 people at Manzanar alone. But overall, how many people were incarcerated?
More than 120,000 people were in various centers across the country. Their homes were taken, they had to leave their homes, and they were there for the duration of the war.
And what duration? Over what period of time?
Well, the executive order was signed in February 1942, and Manzanar closed at the end of the war, November 1945. The rule at the time was they could take only what they could carry. Those were the words that were used at that time. Some of them had nice neighbors who watched over their homes and their farms, but they really took a suitcase or a bag of something, got on trains in large numbers, got shipped to other places. Manzanar's in the middle of the desert on the other side of the Sierra. Really, it really felt very foreign and very abrupt.
Yeah, I've traveled along the Eastern Sierra. I mean, back in the 1940s, was there a town there?
There wasn't a town at Manzanar. Lone Pine is nearby. Bishop is nearby. The military put together these barracks really quickly, and everybody said by today's standards, these would never be allowed. They were new, but they were pretty rickety. They tried to make normal lives there. The kids had a school to go to. There was a hospital on the grounds. The kids had sports teams. They even had a newspaper, the Manzanar Press. But they all sort of put that together themselves. Nothing was really provided other than some basic necessities.
When we think of World War II, we obviously think of concentration camps in Germany and Poland. Are there any parallels to that to Manzanar?
Not in the sense of people being killed. There were people who died at Manzanar, but it was not intended as a death camp. It was not an extermination center as in Germany and Poland. It was really to keep people out of circulation.
Donna, what's so fascinating, and it's just really cool, is you chose to tell the story of Manzanar through photos. I mean, some go back to 1942, but others are from much more recently.
Yeah, there are two groups of photographs that we're talking about here. The old group comes from Dorothea Lange and Ansel Adams and some other people who were taking photographs at the time. The people who lived at Manzanar were not allowed to have cameras, so the government hired professional photographers to document what was going on, or at least some of what was going on. You know, you couldn't show barbed wire or anything like that. You could only show the good part. But that's how we got to know what was happening at Manzanar.
So those are the photos from then. What about the photos that were taken now?
When I got to Manzanar, I met four young women who were on a tour. Most of the people on the tour had relatives who had been incarcerated in one center or another. And I noticed as we were going along how important it was for these four young women to be taking their own pictures of themselves in this place where their family, their ancestors had been. So it really was their story that we're telling here. But as I got to know them and listen to them and spend the day with them, I also realized how strong it is in Japanese culture for a current generation to be tied to future generations.
Yeah, we're shaped by the ancestors of our past.
Yeah.
Who did you meet along the way that you decided to, you know, to share their journey?
I'll let you hear a couple of voices. Sisters, Brittany and Brianna, they worked with the ranger to find the exact location where their family had lived.
We didn't even know that we had anybody at Manzanar until I came on the trip last year. It's heartbreaking, honestly.
Back outside, Rose Masters is helping sisters Brianna and Brittany find their family's home.
The one I talked to was Koji Yorita, and so he was here with his older brother and his parents, and okay. I think they had a younger brother named Toshio who was born here.
Okay, got it, cool.
Did you see this the last time you were here?
No,
we didn't know the address.
The barracks are gone, but water spigots pop out of the ground every so many feet. Signs with numbers identify where buildings once stood. And the sisters found where their family had lived, Lock 36.
I'm happy to share it with my sister.
Yeah, you can really hear, you know, the excitement that they had making that discovery. Were you surprised that these young people were interested in their family history?
I was a little bit, but I had found out about that connection that's so important in culture. I talked with Gary Okahiro, who is a professor who co-wrote a book about Dorothea Lange's photographs, and he talked specifically about a famous photograph where there's a grandfather with his grandson, but in the background is Mount Whitney. And he explained what that meant.
The angle is really important on that photo, shot from the ground upward, to make him, the grandfather, appear monumental like the mountain. But the grandchild is the future that grandfather sees. That means that their family will continue. And that's very important in Japanese culture because ancestors and the descendants of those ancestors form a continuous line so one can be remembered.
So even in their incarceration and despite the trauma and the hardships, there's still this search for a silver lining. It's important to look towards and really focus on the continuation of family.
Yeah. Yeah.
Was everyone as excited as Brianna and Brittany? I would imagine there's a lot of complicated feelings.
Very complicated feelings. And some of the people on the tour were excited. Some other ones were reflective. I have two people I want you to hear. One of them is Sarah. Her great aunt is in a very famous photograph. And the other one is Kat. Her grandfather had been sent to live at Manzanar.
She didn't have control of what photo was taken of her or how she was portrayed. But she had her own narrative when she told the story herself.
I don't think you can quite like picture the camps until you're literally on the crunching desert soil and you feel the wind and the heat that they would have felt. So yeah, it's definitely powerful. It's definitely different to be here.
Even though I decided to tell the story of Manzanar through photos, anyone can tell the story of Manzanar in their own way. They can explore the architecture, the education, the entertainment. There were gardens at Manzanar. Any way you look at it, this is such an important part of American history. And you know the saying, if you don't know history, you're bound to repeat it. So it's something worth looking at.
80 years later, still resonates to this day. Thank you so much for making the trip.
Nice to be here. Nice to tell you about it.
That's my conversation with CAP Radio host Donna Apodoni, who visited Manzanar, a Japanese internment camp that began 80 years ago in the Eastern Sierra. Up next, I'll take you to Del Norte County on a journey along the Klamath River among the California redwoods, where the Yurok tribe shares the tradition of hand-built redwood canoes. You're listening to Insight on your NPR station, CAP Radio. I'm Vicky Gonzalez.
Up in the desert, brave prisoners. Mom's not.